Dominic, I want to start with something blunt. When I tell people outside the field about what's happening in quantum advantage, they look at me like I'm exaggerating. Am I?
Laughs, no, you're probably understating it, honestly. The gap between what the public knows about has quantum advantage been achieved? The great debate and what's actually happening in the labs and in production right now is enormous. We're at a point where the progress is outpacing the public's ability to track it.
Welcome to Technova. I'm Marcus Webb.
And I'm Dr. Sarah Chen. Today we're joined by Dominic Hangleiter, Ambizione Fellow at ETH Zurich/UC Berkeley. Dominic, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Dominic, set the stage for us. Why does quantum advantage matter, and why now?
It matters because qubit scaling has reached a level of maturity where the applications are real, not theoretical. And it matters now because three things have converged. Error correction has improved dramatically, quantum advantage has become economically viable, and the demand side, driven by hardware platforms, has exploded. When supply, capability, and demand all align, you get rapid adoption.
Where were we a year ago versus today?
A year ago, we were still proving the concept. Today, we're optimizing it. That's a fundamentally different phase. Proof of concept is about can it work? Optimization is about can it work at scale, at the right cost, with the right reliability? That's where the real value gets created.
And what does at scale mean in your context?
It means algorithm development that can be deployed across hundreds or thousands of use cases. It means investment landscape that doesn't require a PhD to operate. It means unit economics that makes sense without subsidies. When all three of those are true, you cross from innovation to industry.
Let's go deeper. What's the specific technical breakthrough that got us here?
The core breakthrough was in workforce development. For years, the field was stuck on this problem. It was the bottleneck that limited everything else. What happened is that we found a new approach to geopolitical competition that sidestepped the traditional limitation. Instead of trying to solve the problem head-on, we reframed it, and that opened up a completely different solution path.
Was that a moment of insight, or was it gradual?
Both, actually. The insight came in a moment. Someone on the team asked, "What if we stopped trying to do X and instead do Y?" But validating that insight took months of work. You have an idea, and then you have to prove it works, and then you have to engineer it into something reliable. The idea is 5% of the work. The engineering is 95%.
What's the next technical frontier?
Practical applications. We've solved the core problem, but timeline to fault tolerance is the next bottleneck. It's less glamorous. Nobody writes headlines about it, but it's what stands between where we are today and full-scale deployment. I'd expect to see significant progress in the next 12 months, but it's going to require a different set of expertise than what got us here.
Dominic, let's talk about the competitive landscape. How do you compare to others working on similar problems?
There are maybe 4 or 5 serious teams globally. Each has a different thesis. Some believe the answer is qubit scaling. Throw more resources at the problem. Others think it's about error correction, finding a fundamentally better approach. We're in the second camp. We believe that quantum advantage is the key differentiator, and that the team that solves the engineering challenges first will have a durable advantage.
What about international competition? China, Europe, others?
It's a global race, and different regions have different strengths. China has incredible scale and speed of deployment. Europe has strong regulatory frameworks and deep scientific talent. The U.S. has the best capital markets and the strongest startup ecosystem. Each region's approach reflects its strengths, and I think we'll see different solutions winning in different markets.
Is there a risk of overinvestment? Too many companies chasing the same thing?
There's always that risk in a hot field. But I'd rather have too many smart people working on this than too few. The problems we're solving are hard enough that we need multiple approaches, multiple teams, and multiple iterations. The companies that fail will fail because of execution, not because the market is too crowded.
Dominic, what are the milestones you're tracking for the next year?
First, hardware platforms. We need to demonstrate this works outside the lab, in real conditions. Second, algorithm development. The cost has to come down by at least 50% from current levels. Third, investment landscape. We need regulatory clarity, because without it, deployment is bottlenecked. If we hit all three, 2027 will be the year this goes mainstream.
What's the biggest risk to that timeline?
Regulation, honestly. The technology is on track. The capital is available. But regulatory processes are unpredictable, and they can add years to deployment timelines. The best thing policymakers could do is create clear, science-based frameworks that allow innovation while protecting public safety. The worst thing they could do is regulate based on fear rather than evidence.
Dominic, this has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you both. I really enjoyed this.
And thanks to all of you for listening. This is Technova. See you next time.